This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Hello there. It's episode 159 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, August 20th, 2014. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my co-host, Marcus Couch. Marcus, another week's gone by. Another week of WordPress to talk about.
Absolutely. A lot of WordPress news. And, boy, we got a lot of good feedback about Pippin's experience last week on the show. So we're looking forward to our guest this week and ample feedback coming back from this episode as well.
Right. So speaking of our guest, we're going to do something a little different here. Every now and then we do something different on the show just so everybody doesn't fall asleep. Change is good. We're going to bring on our special guest right now, immediately, right here in the beginning of the show, because he's that special. His name is Leland Fiegel. He's a web developer and loves WordPress. Now, he's formerly of ThemeLab, which a lot of people, longtime listeners, may remember that website. It was devoted to WordPress theme topics. It was like a blog, and it also had some free themes. That was acquired earlier this year, and he's the owner of WPChat.com, which has recently relaunched as a forum devoted to WordPress discussions, which we'll talk about later in the show. But before we get to that, first off, Leland, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Thanks so much for having me.
And as I understand it, you got a new microphone, and it sounds pretty good.
Oh, actually, I could not figure out how to connect it in time for the show, so we're listening to my normal lame computer one. So I'm glad to hear that. That sounds good.
Well, your lame computer one sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's good to hear that it sounds good.
Oh, boy. So one of the topics I wanted to talk about tonight is Carrie Dill. She put out a post, which is a WordCamp survival guide for first-time attendees. This is one of the first posts I've seen tackling this subject, and her post has several tips, six or seven tips, for new attendees to get the most out of WordCamps. And I thought it was a great guide, and one of the tips that she mentions that I struggle with personally is, you know, during these session breaks or when it's time to go to lunch and everybody scrambles because everybody's hungry, you know, it's part of your ticket. Usually a good meal is to be had at a WordCamp. So everybody goes in there, gets their meal, and then I usually am one of the last ones to go through the line, which has hurt me a couple of times because I ended up running out of food at a few different WordCamps I've been to. But so I get my food, and then I look for a place to sit down, and I'm like, well, where are the people I know? Or I could sit down at this table or at this table. And it just seems like, you know, I go to these WordCamp events, and I'm supposed to be writing about WordPress. I'm supposed to be talking to a lot of people, getting stories, finding out how they're using WordPress. But sometimes the extrovertedness of myself, I turn into an introvert at some of these WordCamps. So instead of like introducing myself, I find a group of people I'm familiar with that, you know, I've seen at other WordCamps, and I just hang out with them because I don't have to introduce myself. I just hang out with them, and I sort of just stick to myself. After reading some of these tips, like Marcus, I know you recently attended your first WordCamp. I think it was Orange County.
Yeah.
Do you wish you would have seen this survival guide before you went, or did you handle it okay?
You know, there's always opportunities for improvement in any situation that you get into. But for the most part, I ended up having about three people on my list that I definitely wanted to meet, that I checked off of, you know, the bucket list or whatever you want to call it, the intro list. I really wanted to meet Saeed from WP Beginner, and that was like my main goal. I had already met Chris Lemma, so I just wanted to say hi and, you know, make pleasant conversation. So that was checked off the list. And then I wanted to also reach somebody that I'd never reached before or knew anything about that was a speaker and just, you know, converse with them. And mission accomplished there as well. So I got to talk to somebody about, you know, like road warriors lifestyle type of, you know, living and how to work remotely and do WordPress stuff from anywhere in the world and the equipment to do it and things like that. So,
are you an outgoing person? I mean, do you like just walking up to people? Hey, my name's Marcus. What's your name? I mean, are you that type of person, or do you need small talk to to get to know somebody? How does that work for you?
Just a spark. And if you're in a room full of WordPress people, you've got your spark already.
Yeah, everybody's
into WordPress. So you've got a topic that you can come up to anybody with and go, hey, how do you use WordPress? And there you go. You're done. So, you know, you ask them what their problems are, if they, you know, run into any needs or of plugins, or what themes are they using, how are they using their time to manage and track their tasks and things. So there's a lot more to learn about being a WordPress person, I guess, than just WordPress. Mm-hmm. And that's what you also get out of WordCamps.
Leland, if I remember correctly, I know when you went to your first WordCamp, which I think was WordCamp Raleigh, gosh, I don't know how many years ago that was, but I know that was your first WordCamp, and I know that before that it was sort of hard to get you on podcasts and things of that nature. Do you find yourself to be more of an introvert versus more of an outgoing, just want to meet new people type of person? And has that changed for you over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely like have an introverted personality, but I mean, over the years, I've kind of come out of my shell a lot. And I think that my first WordCamp, just like kind of, you know, thrusting yourself into that, it really helps a lot. And I do wish that I read some sort of like survival guide like this before I went, but I feel like I kind of winged it relatively well. But it would have been nice to have a more, I don't know, formal guide to look over, because you're just kind of, I don't know, on your own out there.
Yeah, back in, I think it was 2008 at WordCamp Dallas. That was my first WordCamp I ever attended. And that was back when WordCamps were still sort of relatively new in terms of events for WordPress. And I went there, and there were some sessions that I wanted to see. I saw them all. There were some people that were going to be there. I met them. And overall, it was a great experience for me. At that point, I really wanted to meet new people. Now, but I will say that when I go to these WordCamp events that are, let's say, 600, 700, up to 900 attendees, I find myself being an introvert in those events and finding myself just being outgoing and wanting to meet people with, let's say, the 100 to 300 person WordCamps. I don't know why that is, if that's just the atmosphere, there's more chances of meeting each other, which sounds kind of strange at a smaller WordCamp.
What do you want to accomplish at a WordCamp? Because everybody has their different goals. So what for you individually do you want to do? Just network? Do you want to get new stories?
I think I just want to eat and have a good time, go to after parties.
Okay, well, mission accomplished.
yeah, pretty much. Boy, the truth comes out. Thanks a lot, Marcus. So we find out what my goal is and go to these WordCamps.
Yeah.
I should be working. My goal was to work and get stories. That's my goal. That's what I'm going to do. All that other stuff is just, you know, part of the job.
Right.
I'm trying to get myself out of the hole. So anyways, if you have never attended a WordCamp, definitely check out the Survival Guide to WordCamps, especially if you're a first-time attendee. It's a really neat and well-written guide by Kerry Dills.
And I got to say one thing about WordCamp, too. They're not like a shyster. They're not trying to jerk you around for like $600 or whatever. You know, that's the one thing about WordCamp that I really appreciate, is that they're not trying to, you know, heist you for money. There's social conferences and things like that, blogger conferences. It's like even just to get in the expo floor, it's $500, and if you want sessions, you're going to spend $1,200, and I guarantee you won't get the same out of it as you would a WordCamp, because you're literally looking at, you know, 20 experts in the eye. And you can probably get your tech questions answered right there if you bring them and ask them.
Well, that's a topic for another show in terms of prices for conferences. But, I mean, WordCamps are probably amongst the cheapest in terms of conferences available. I mean, especially if you look at some of the other open source community conferences. OSTraining.com recently wrote a post about sort of explaining how conferences about open source software should be free, just like the project itself. And that's kind of a unique concept if you think about it. But some of them are a few hundred dollars a piece.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about something that, you know, I thought this debate was over with 6 years ago. But apparently there are still people out there that are just, this debate's still going on, and that is whether WordPress is a CMS. Now, I think after reading this article, I mean, there was an article on – written by Kaya Ismail on CMScritic.com, and it was entitled WordPress is a CMS, Whether You Like It or Not. And I thought it was one of the most refreshing perspectives I've read on the subject. And, you know, if you look up the definition of what a content management system is, it's a web application designed to make it easy for non-technical users to add, edit, and manage a website. You know, and that's it. I think WordPress fits that definition rather well and in many respects excels at it. And I think one of the main points that Ismail brings up in his post is that during this debate on whether or not WordPress is a CMS, you know, the issues arise when the stripped-down true meaning of what CMS is blown up with unnecessary jargon. So in reality, you know, those definitions hold very little weight other than when they describe added marketing or administrative extras, when the fact of the matter is WordPress fits the definition of a CMS perfectly, and that was by Kaya Ismail in his post. And I think that I totally agree with that. And I know, Leland, we were talking about this on WP Chat earlier today. You know, I think that those inside the WordPress community, those who use WordPress, I mean, you don't need to convince us. You don't need to tell us it's a CMS. I mean, we've known that for years. But I think it's outside of the user base of WordPress where this debate is still ongoing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in my mind, like, I don't think there's been any doubt that WordPress is a CMS, even like back in like the B2 days. I mean, a blog post is a piece of content, and you're managing that, so it's a content management system. And I guess people are like, over the years, have compared it to like Drupal or Joomla, and I guess Drupal, I'm not too familiar with it, but I think they have more like advanced, like, you know, post-to-post connections, and they had like a custom post type equivalent much longer before WordPress. And now with WordPress having those features, custom post types are in core, and if you want like many-to-many relationships between posts or post types, you can use the post-to-post plugin. I really can't think of anything that's really missing CMS-wise as far as WordPress features are concerned.
I mean, back in the day, everyone thought, okay, WordPress is just for blogging, which it excels at. It did very well. And then one day we ended up getting these custom taxonomies and then custom post types. Next thing you know, hey, WordPress is even more of a CMS than it used to be, if that's possible. And as you mentioned, many-to-many relationships. I know that you know, it's over my head, but the taxonomy and the many-to-many relationships and things of that nature is something that's being looked upon. The core team, and there's a lot of people surrounding the subject that are working on improving APIs and these relationships and things of that nature. But I think what's funny is going back to 2009, Oz Richards, he published a post which pretty much is like the definitive guide to using WordPress as a CMS. So there's four steps to this. One, install WordPress, which no plugin is needed. Two, publish a post. Three, edit your post. And then four, upload images and insert them into your content. According to him, you've just managed content and used WordPress as a CMS. I mean, if you wanted to get down to the simplest definition of what that all means, I mean, that's it right there. So, but other than that, I mean, yeah, WordPress is a CMS. Joomla is a CMS. Any system that allows you to manage your content is a freaking CMS. I mean, that's all there is to it.
That's like French people saying English isn't really a language.
Wait a second. Do they say that? I mean, do they say that?
You know, Canadians.
All right. So, so I just thought it was a great article. I mean, I can't believe the debate's still going on. I think, as somebody mentioned in the comments of the Tavern article, maybe the next debate is whether WordPress could be suitable as an app or software as a service platform. So, you know, the CMS stuff is, hey, man, that's so long ago. Let's start talking about, you know, let's debate if whether apps or if it's a platform or not.
And why debate? Isn't it just a solution provider? Isn't that what WordPress really is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solution to a problem. I mean, it's not the solution to every problem. I mean, don't get me wrong on that. That's just dumb. I mean, use the best tool for the job. But, I mean, I think WordPress is evolving to tackle more jobs that maybe it wasn't suited for, you know, a few years ago. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. And when WordPress came out 10 years ago, there was still not broadband across the country or the world for that matter. So, and there weren't responsive themes and things like that. So, you know, it's all come a long way, and we don't have to still stick by that old 2004 yardstick that we used to compare each other to as far as the different platforms. I think we've all evolved into something else.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'll just say, so I'll just end it with this quote by Kay Ishmael in his article. He says, "It isn't particularly amazing in any niche other than blogging," he's speaking of WordPress, "and it sacrifices being a powerhouse when it comes to things like digital asset management for the sake of simplicity. Yet at the same time, WordPress is a content management system and a good one at that, so maybe it's time everybody got over it." Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's, I couldn't sum it up better myself.
Yeah.
So, let's see. So I've had this problem with image attachments in WordPress. It's focused on image attachments, but it could be generalized to just attachments in general. WordPress 4.0 adds this nifty detailed information to the WordPress media library. You'll be able to see, A, who the image is uploaded by, and B, the initial post that the image is uploaded to. However, you won't be able to see which posts that image is being used in. So let's say you upload a post or an image to one post and you reuse that image five times in all these other posts. Well, if you look inside of WordPress, it's only going to tell you which, you know, the initial post, the parent post of where that image was uploaded. You'll have no idea it's being used on other five posts. So I looked up this information, and it looked like it had something to do with these many-to-many relationships and things of that nature. But a gentleman by the name of Sergey, I want to make sure I get this right, Sergey Biryokov, well, I probably butchered that name, but he's a Russian WordPress developer and user, and he ended up creating a plugin, which I wrote about today, and it's called Find Post Using Attachment. And it's incredibly simple. So when you install it, it adds a column in the WordPress media library in the modal view of an image that says used in. So not only do you get to see when which post the initial image was uploaded to, in the next column, you get to see every post that the image is used in. So I think this is very important for people who use and it's just not just images either. It's attachments in general. So those could be documents, text files, MP3s, images. If you recycle those in the WordPress media library like I do, I think it's great to be able to find out this information through the use of a plugin, because if you end up changing it on one, then you'll have this list of documents to go change it on those as well. You don't have to do this guessing game or use your memory.
That's awesome. Sergey, thank you. Thank you for your contribution to the community. You saved us a ton of headaches.
And I know I'm not the only one who wanted this information either. There's a couple of people in the comments who also said that they would love to have this because they use one. They attach a document, and they use that document of all these other pages or posts, but you know, if they change it in one, they've forgotten all the other content they've used that attachment in. So yeah, this plugin will help solve that, and just very cool. I mean, I think it's awesome that I write about a problem on the tavern, and someone from the community says, "I got your fix," and he writes a plugin, and it's already on the repo, and it's all there. It's fixed, and it works great.
Yeah, I think I still am not happy with the way that images work in the sense of they almost all the time have this sense of automatic linking. You know, either they link to themselves or link to the page themselves, and sometimes I just want to put a picture there, and it should default to that. There's a couple plugins that do it. There's like Link to None, which is one great plugin you can use for that, that defaults to none as far as the link. But then also, you know, there's some sizing issues with the new editor and things, so we'll see how it all works out.
Well, sort of going off topic a little bit, and it's similar to what you're saying, and maybe Leland can weigh in on this. I was talking about this on Twitter, where who uses, you know, where does it make sense when you add an image to a post to link it to the attachment page? Because when you do that and you click on the image and you go to the attachment page, you've now have been taken away from the content where that image is posted, and you either had to click the back button or find your way back to where that content was. You know, you sort of have gotten lost. And the only really use case I can see where that really makes sense is photography websites where you link to the attachment page. Photomat, his website is a great example because he posts a lot of photos that link to the attachment page. And those pages usually show detailed information about the camera, the image, the size, and sometimes you can even comment on those images. But, I mean, for the most part, that's really the only use case I can come up with where it makes sense to link to the actual attachment page.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably what it's made for, like a photography type website. I mean, I know what Marcus is talking about when it might auto link or by default link to the attachment page, and whenever I do that, I just take the link off because I don't want people commenting on like individual photos or something. I just want that to be part of the post that I put it in. So I don't think it's like too much of a pain point, but I'm glad to hear that there are plugins that kind of take care of these issues for people like that.
Sure.
Now, Marcus, if I remember correctly, I think with the media image, what happens when you insert an image into your post, it remembers your last known setting and uses that as a default. So if you set it to the attachment page the last time you were adding an image to the post, when you do it again, it's also going to set it to the attachment image. So, I mean, are you saying it's forgetting settings, or are you saying
I'm saying when you start off with a, complete virgin, pure image that you upload for the very first time, then it, for the most part, it defaults to itself as far as the image. So when you click on this image that you've embedded within there, it defaults to like the larger version if you shrink it down,
Oh, okay.
Or the attachment page or whatever. It depends on what it is. It depends on how it defaults or what your particular settings happen to be. But it's a pain, It's a pain if you just want to put images in there and not have to worry about that stuff. If I want to make it larger, I'll put it in there, So
all right.
The defaulting has got to go.
All right. So actually, check out that plugin. Again, it's called, if you're interested in that, Find Post Using Attachment. That'll allow you to easily find all posts using your attachment. Very cool plugin. And we'll link all this up to the show notes on wptavern.com. And our last story I want to get to is that Akismet has revamped their account dashboard. Now, this isn't inside the plugin itself, but it's on the Akismet website. So when you go there and you log in to manage your account, so let's say you manage multiple sites, or that's where you can manage your API key, reset your password for your Akismet account, and do all kinds of other things. So they've recently did a redesign, and they've added a couple of things to the redesign. And I think one of the coolest things that they've added is the ability to see a list of active websites that are using your API key. So if you we've talked about this before. I know Sarah and I have. And where you have an API key and you end up developing client sites, and instead of getting them their own key, you end up using your own. And who knows, maybe it's being used on 50, 60 sites. Well, that's sort of against the actually, I'm pretty sure that is against the terms of service for Akismet. At that point, you should be paying a subscription or something of that nature. But the redesign looks really sharp, very cool. I actually found out that my API key is being used on sites that I have no access to, and I have no idea how they got my API key. So that's kind of light bulb moment for me, and I'm currently in the process of working with the Akismet team, support team, to figure out why that is.
They don't give you the option in the dashboard just to pluck those from the API?
No, I mean, I actually looked for an option to sort of remove those sites But you can't do that. I think you have to actually have physical access to those sites and go in and remove the key manually. Or contact support and maybe they'll work with me and maybe they'll just remove it for me, my API key from those sites. I don't know what's going to happen to them.
I take it back. WordPress is not a CMS. Forget it then. No.
Fantastic.
No, but seriously, you know, when we talk about Akismet and being free versus paid, it's worth the subscription. Do you people out there realize what it would be like if you had to really go through every comment and all the spam that you had to do that Akismet saves you all that work from?
Comments would be closed majority. The majority of sites would have comments just closed.
Yeah. So give them $5 a month. Jeez, look at all the time you're saving.
Yeah, actually, if you log into the Akismet, your back end, you look at the Akismet stats, I think it does tell you how many days it saved you based on all the spam it's gotten rid of. I think I'm up to like 50 days or something, which is pretty nice.
Well, all you would-be developers out there, maybe you can just use that as bill time. Just put Akismet on your client site and then just use that as an hourly rate. And what Akismet tells you, send off a bill. See if they pay it.
So if you have an Akismet account, be sure to go over there to akismet.com, log in, and check it out for yourself. And again, look at the list of active sites using your API key. You may be surprised, as I was today. So that wraps it up for this week's news. Let's talk about something that recently happened earlier this week. And Leland, you'll be able to tell us all the details about what happened here. First off, before we get to that, I want to ask you, what have you been up to since the acquisition of ThemeLab?
I actually work full-time at a kind of WordPress agency in Washington, D.C. I've been pretty busy with that lately. I've been organizing the WordPress DC meetups for a few months now. We actually had one last night, which was pretty fun.
Speaking of that, I think Andrew Nason presented on WordPress 4.0, right?
Yeah, he did.
What did you learn, and is there any features of 4.0 that jump out at you?
Yeah, there were two that I actually mentioned this on a WP chat thread as well, but there are two features that stood out to me. One is the language chooser when you're first installing WordPress. That might not mean a lot to us English speakers, but I think it definitely, there's a lot of room for growth internationally, and even though it's already pretty popular in other countries, I think the language chooser on the install makes it a lot more welcoming to new users who English may not be their first language or their site's primary language might be something that's not English. I think that really helps a lot.
Awesome. So have you had a chance to look at the plugin discovery screens and the plugin tabs?
Oh, yeah. He demoed that as well. Anything that helps, making, finding plugins easier in the dashboard, evaluating plugins from WordPress.org, I think is a huge, huge help.
I agree. And I'm looking forward to these. As a writer, I write in WordPress pretty much every day. I'm looking forward to that little enhancement with the sticky toolbar where it sticks and there's no more dual sidebar action.
Yeah.
There's one more thing, too. There's a lot more improvements to embedding in posts.
Yes.
One thing that stood out to me was if you embed a tweet in your post, it'll actually cache the tweet. So in case the person who tweeted that deletes the tweet later, you still have that saved on your site.
Thanks for telling me. Now I will not tweet ever again.
I think like just from like a journalistic standpoint, I think that's like a huge feature because like a ton of people say something stupid on Twitter and then they're like, oh, I didn't say that by.
Well, there's no shortage of examples of people saying dumb things on Twitter and then they cause a crap storm. They end up getting fired. They end up get their lives ruined. They ended up deleting the tweet, but that would be something else if you start seeing more and more of those tweets that were deleted saved in the cache file, which gives you time to take a screenshot of that, make an image, because that way then who cares about the cache, then you have it in an image.
Yeah, I guess you could always take a screenshot too. Like that's never going to get deleted. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool to think of that feature.
I dread the crazy affiliate sites people are going to spin out of this technology and just cash every tweet ever known.
Oh God, I didn't think of that, but that's definitely like probably going to be a problem. Like tweet scraper sites.
That's exactly right.
Tweet scraper. Oh, how far we've come.
Sorry, so, I had to take us down the dark side there for a second. But
that's okay. You're good at that. Yeah. So, Leland, what's the history behind the WP Chat domain, and how did you acquire it, and what did you initially use it for?
Well, I acquired it. I think I bought it back in 2010. I saw it on an auction site. It was nobody else bid on it, so I got it pretty cheaply. And this was like 4 years ago, I think. So like I guess people were like snapping up like WP domains left and right. I was one of the only ones, I think. So I was lucky to get this name because I think it's really great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is a great domain.
And when I first bought it, like I put up a site really quick. It was the same color scheme as I have up on the new site. And I tested out a few live chat plugins for WordPress. People would actually sign up on the WordPress site and they would get an account. And I forget what the plug is. Some plugin that's probably really out of date now. And I had some problems with impersonators. There was some fake Matt Mullenwegs. There was some fake. There was actually a lot of fake. I think.
So, Matt, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
I think Chris Pearson was the most impersonated person back then.
Oh, yeah, because of those times. You know, I actually remember that. I remember because it wasn't too long after I had launched the Tavern, you know, and then you had WP Chat, and I said, oh, this is great, and I wrote about it, and we started having these scheduled or even sometimes nightly chats where people could log in, and you're right, there was the Chris Pearson, there was the Photomats. I mean, they were taking – I mean – It was wrong, but I mean, it was hilarious. Some of the things these people were saying.
Yeah, and I moved off of that like self-hosted chat plugin, and I moved to something called Tiny Chat, which yeah. I don't think I haven't seen anybody use Tiny Chat in a long time. I don't know if it. I guess it's still.
I think it still works, but it's very slow to customize. As far
yeah, it seems curve. Like kind of out of date now. But it had a feature that would verify a Twitter account, so that kind of cut out all the impersonators. And eventually I switched it to a Freenode IRC embed. So people who are already in like the WordPress channel or WordPress development channel could come in pretty easily, as well as people just logging in on the website itself.
Yeah, that's the same thing that we're using for the WP Tavern chat room for WordPress Weekly is a embed iframe to Freenode on IRC. And, you know, isn't it sort of funny how after all these years, IRC is a very old, well, very old in internet terms, internet times, technology, and the interface, the structure really hasn't changed that much, and yet nobody has really come across, nobody has really found a way to just have a great, easy-to-use connect interface for IRC. It's sort of strange. And then if you, what's the one Dragcast uses in some of the other websites? They're using the service, and that is tied into IRC itself, but then you run into the problem of these websites having problems, so you can't connect to the IRC server because the website that's acting as the UI to connect to the IRC server is having problems, so it you know, you end up just going back to old command line looking an IRC client.
Yeah, well, we've got Twitter now, you know, the hashtag is everything. I mean, that's almost like a chat room real time, right?
Yeah, there are people using it as a chat room. In fact, strangely enough, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Twitter account Studio Nash Vegas, he's doing a WP Chat hashtag, which has no relation to the WP Chat that Leland owns, and he uses it as a sort of a global chat room using that hashtag. And it works, but I mean, you're limited to 140 characters, and you know, there's some other drawbacks to that. I mean, it's in everybody else's, you know, you're sort of interjecting all that content into everybody else's timelines. So there's that, and there's some other issues as well. But you know, it'd just be nice to see something like IRC, but it's just really user friendly without having to type in weird captchas to get in.
Yeah. All right. Well, you developers out there, Jeff has thrown down the gauntlet. And we're ready to go. So get out there and make a nice IRC plugin for him.
So WP Chat ended up being this embedded IRC chat room, which worked for me, worked for a lot of other people because of WordPress, a lot of WordPress folks, they know what IRC is. They're probably using it for co-working or working remotely. And it was like that for a while, but eventually it just became dormant, right? I mean, it wasn't used very often. Unless for the occasional, hey, let's go over here and chat about something.
Yeah, like I think I was looking at the WP Chat Twitter account, and I think like sometime last year I was like, hey, let's do a chat, and I think a few people like dropped in then, but I guess I just wasn't really active in promoting it, and it just went dormant for a few years, and then just this past weekend. Well, Jeff, maybe you can take it from here.
Oh, yeah. So this past weekend, I mean, dude, it's no secret. I really, really want the forum to come back in the tavern. I just have to work out the logistics and some other things. I have to find out a lot of stuff and get it going, for it to happen. But I've been looking for – I really miss the tavern forum. I've been looking for a place online that – gives me that feeling, that sense of community where I could just go and hang out. I don't have to worry about the journalistic quality and standards of writing posts on a site. I could just post a link and say, hey, guys, what do you think? And just shoot the bull with people.
The Tears theme right now.
Oh, yeah.
Where right. Everybody knows
so, you. Right. So, well, I thought you said Tears. Good thing you said Cheers.
Cheers, yeah. Tears, that's after they read our content.
So I sent an email to Leland saying, hey, do you have anything planned for this WP Chat domain? Because it would be awesome for something I'm thinking about doing. I'm sort of tired of waiting, and I don't know what's going on, so I'm going to prove my point by buying a domain or getting this domain, and I'm going to do the forum myself and host it outside of the tavern. So I
Leland said, not so fast, sucker.
Leland said, So he replies back to me, and he goes, you know, I was thinking of using Discourse as well for the WP Chat domain. Boy, that's kind of strange. Now, Leland, I'll ask you this on the spot. Before I had emailed you, is this what you were thinking, or did I put that thought into your mind?
No, I was definitely, like, thinking about it. It was definitely helpful to have, like, a nice, like, kind of cue. Like, okay, this is a good excuse to get this set up. Because like I was looking at like Buddy Press and BB Press, and I didn't feel like it would be a good fit for WP Chat, and I discovered Discourse like a couple months ago, I think, when I found I'm a big fan of the Roots theme, and they use Discourse for their support forum, and I thought it was like a really like awesome piece of software. And I did not set it up at first because I realized, just reading the documentation of it, that it was not, you know, WordPress easy to install. You need a VPS to run it. You need it's just a little bit more complicated to set up. So I kind of was putting it off for a while.
Until I come along and say, oh, this would be a great idea. I'll even buy the domain off you. And you're like, well... Better do something now.
But yeah, I mean, I think it like kind of worked out.
So I put a feeler out there on Twitter. I asked a question. I said, if you were going to host a forum, standalone forum on your domain, what would you use? And people said vanilla, PunBB. I think someone said PHPBB, but quite a few people said Discourse. So I'm like, okay, what is that? So I go and check it out, and Discourse is actually relatively new software created by Jeff Atwood of CodingHorror.com and quite a few other folks. And it's basically his vision of, you know, taking 10 years worth of what forums have provided, and let's sort of revamp all of that. Let's take the lessons we've learned over the past 10 years of forums, okay, implement that, but let's do all these other things that really sort of improve the flow and the functionality of the forum and let it sort of be a conversation instead of, you know, post, wait, things of that nature. So I would have went with Discourse, and I sort of told that to you, and you said, well, I'm thinking about doing that yourself, and that sort of motivated you to actually go through the install and tell us what the install process was like, because it's not a PHP MySQL application at all.
I've been using like a web, it's not really a web host, it's like a kind of a cloud server provider called DigitalOcean. Mm-hmm. So I've been like setting up my own servers with that. So I was already kind of familiar with the command line and, you know, doing some basic security measures, setting up a VPS. So it wasn't too much of a learning curve for me, but I definitely ran into a few mistakes along the way. One, I did not realize you needed a 1 gigabyte RAM server minimum to install it.
Right.
I did it on like the cheapest possible one at first, which was 512 megabytes, and it just like totally timed out and it did not install properly. And I had to just destroy the server and start over again. So definitely read the tutorial carefully before doing anything, because there are some kind of caveats along the way to make sure you don't mess things up. But overall, once I kind of figured it out, it was relatively painless. There's like this script that kind of handles all the stuff you really need to do for you. I think you used to have to do that manually, but this something called Docker automates a lot of that for you. Like, it installs the web server, Nginx installs the database, pretty much everything you need, or you used to have to do separately, it does it all for you now. So I thought that was pretty convenient.
So just like Ghost, I believe, I think Ghost is also on Ember.js, it's a JavaScript framework. The server side of Discourse is written in Ruby on Rails with a Postgres database and Redis REDIS server cache. It says you can deploy Discourse on a virtualized cloud server, which I think is what you did with DigitalOcean. And the minimum requirements are Postgres 9.1, Redis 2.6, Ruby 1.9.3, and they recommend a minimum of 1 gig of RAM to host Discourse, although it may work with slightly less. So pretty hefty requirements for a piece of software. And I know when I wrote about it on the Tavern, somebody had mentioned that maybe the people behind Discourse were developing this or setting the minimum requirements so high that it would force you into buying their hosting. But right now they have no hosting you can buy, although I know they're working on a cloud solution.
Yeah, I saw that comment, and it seems kind of like a conspiracy theory, but I don't think there's any foundation to that. Like you said, they don't even offer their own hosting yet, at least not publicly, like a WordPress.com would or something like that. And they even recommend a number of different cloud providers like DigitalOcean. I think they recommended
like Amazon, EC2 or something.
Yeah, and like
maybe Rackspace, Azure.
Yeah, things like that. So I don't think they're trying to like really steer you in one direction or the other. I think it actually needs that type of those type of specs to get running. Just based on the nature of the software, I don't think they're trying to like make you buy more expensive hosting.
So one of the coolest things about this project, it is licensed under the GPL license version 2, which is the same exact license that WordPress is under. So that's cool. So it's open source. You can download it right now. They're currently working on version 1.0, which should have been released in August, but I think they pushed it back to September because they're working on quite a few things. But so this is forum software. It's sort of revamped, and I wanted to get your take on it. We've been using it since Monday. So far, we have over 50 users registered to the site. I was lucky enough to be one of the, probably the second registered user on the site, and you've graciously allowed me to help you out with moderation. And there's quite a few nifty things that this system has out of the box that other pieces of forum software don't, at least none that I have experience with. One of the first things is this thing called a user trust system. So Discourse has this thing where when you initially install it, it has almost like a troll, bot, or spammer solution already in place to where new accounts can only post two links at most, can only post, I don't know, so many times, you know, within a given time frame, until they until they have enough posts to where it looks like they're actually a contributing member of the community, then they get promoted to another user level, a user trust level, to where they can post as many links as they want and they become more active, could do more things in the community. So I thought that was pretty neat because I haven't seen that in any other forum system before.
Yeah, definitely. And actually someone this morning like private messaged me on the site and they were like, hey, Discourse told me I can't post more than one link and like until like I don't know some time period went up and I had to like manually upgrade his trust level because he was like a trustworthy member in my eyes, but I guess Discourse like tries to sandbox users, so if somebody's like a total spammer, they can't really go too crazy before you notice it. So I think it's a thoughtful feature, but I'll probably lighten. I think we both talked about kind of lightening that up, just so you know, because I'm not too worried about the WordPress people really.
They're not really known for that. I think something like that comes in handy when you start talking about getting 100, 200 registrations a day. I think that's where it really comes in handy.
Yeah, definitely. So it's not a problem yet, but I can imagine it being a problem later when that sort of sandboxing feature for new users will probably come in handy. But yeah, I'm definitely a huge fan of everything in Discourse. Just seems so well thought out. I haven't even messed with a lot of the default options yet.
Are there things that are the equivalents of plugins and themes and things like that for this?
I think it's definitely possible to. You can do like custom CSS, and I think you can do custom like header, footer, HTML, that sort of thing. I don't know too much. If you search like something like premium Discourse themes, like nothing will come up. I think that's just because it's such a new piece of software. There hasn't been really a WordPress-like ecosystem surrounding it yet.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good opportunity for somebody in the WordPress world to step into a new pond.
I was reading about this, and there are they're still working on it. They have partner websites right now to help them work out the kinks, and these are some large established websites like Boing Boing, How To Geek, Total Rock, New Relic. Those are some very large active communities, and they're working with them to help them work through a lot of bugs and things they discover up to version 1.0. And because it's such a new project, they don't have the things in place to host the third-party ecosystem, so whether that's themes or plugins. But I've read in a couple of posts that they're definitely interested in that. It's just that their priorities right now are around version 1.0. Once they ship that, they'll start working on developing the system to support third-party contributions to the software. So really, I mean, I think it's been around for a year, at least a year, but it's really, I got to say, for where it's at right now, most of the initial testing I did on the WP Chat site through Discourse, they've developed the software with mobile in mind first, and with tablets and responsiveness. The theme that comes with Discourse out of the box is responsive, and there's a lot of things that are just intuitive. You know, you're not going around looking for certain buttons and to do things. As you said, Leland, I agree. I think a lot of this stuff has been thought out. So one of the features it has is the ability to tag people and notify them, even though if they don't see that in their specific thread. So if you do like an at their username, they'll be notified that they were mentioned in a specific thread, which is similar to P2. You remember the P2 sort of plugin slash theme on WordPress? That has a similar feature, and Discourse has it right out of the box, which is really neat.
I like the fact that you have the – it looks really nice in the theme perspective, or at least the visual perspective, that every one of the categories has their own color.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more vibrant than your typical BB press. You know, and I'm on the categories page, and it shows the latest in each one individually, and the how long it's been since somebody's interacted, and all of that. So it's a statistical dream as far as anybody who wants to run a forum.
Yeah, and just like P2, when you're on the site or you're in a thread, and you respond to it, and somebody else has responded to the thread, you'll get a notification that says there has been one new post to this thread. Would you like to refresh and see it, or something to that effect? So you click it, it refreshes instantaneously. You see the new reply. Everything about this Discourse forum is about instantaneous, or as near time, as real time as you can be, which is great because it really sort of amplifies the aspect of it. If it's a conversation, it's a real-time conversation where you're not clicking reply, and then you put your reply in, then you click save, and then you have to let it load into the database, then you have to keep refreshing manually or receive an email notification in order to see if anyone's replied. If anyone's replied as you're there, participating in the conversation, you'll be able to see it and just keep on going. Like the whole site is like a real-time chat room now.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, the emails that it sends, like you mentioned, like, I think it really keeps people engaged because you don't have to be, like, logged in all the time to see, like, updates. If you're subscribed to a thread or someone tags you or responds to you, like, you get an email about it, and then you're right back on, Discourse or WP chat.
Yeah, and I like that it can give you a digest even as far out as every 2 weeks. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So, you had already mentioned you looked at BB BuddyPress, you thought of BB Press, maybe you thought of other pieces of forum software. And you sort of came across Discourse. Are you happy with Discourse so far? What are some of the features that really make you happy with your choice?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of decisions over options philosophy that went into this. Even though there's a good number of options in the admin. I mean, it's not too overwhelming. Everything is broken down into pretty basic categories. There's actually a built-in backup feature. So I think it's like auto-backing up every 24 hours now.
Like to where? Just to the server? To a Dropbox? Where is it going?
It can go to like S3. It can go to like a separate FTP server, I think. Right now it's just like saving on the server as well, which is probably not the most redundant thing to put it on. I'm pretty sure I can change that up later.
Well, I'm glad I brought that up.
But yeah, I'm definitely happy with it so far. And outside of like, the GPL software, there's a vBulletin that's pretty popular, but I find that to be like so overkill. I would never use it. I think BB Press, Buddy Press, and Discourse were the only ones in the running for me for this.
Is there an advertising system built into this as well?
I am not sure. I feel like the only ads you can put in are like, in the custom HTML header footer type thing.
Got it.
You'd probably have to like hack up some template file to put in ads. Or maybe you can like pretend it's like, I know vBulletin will like insert a fake post in between like two real posts with like an ad.
It's very ad centric with vBulletin.
Yeah, vBulletin has it built in to an ad service if you wanted to connect it, and they'll do it for you. And I have, when I had the Tavern Forum, I used vBulletin because it had just about everything I wanted right out of the box. Yes, it was overkill, but I mean, I only added two extensions to it, and for 2 or 3 years, that's all I needed. It provided just about everything I needed out of the box. Now, if I were going to do it again, boy, after using Discourse for a week, I got to tell you, I the hell with vBulletin, I'd go with Discourse. But
conversion,
because it uses, you know, Ruby on Rails, it uses Postgres. It's not the typical, you can't just click one button and install it. For me, I think I would have to wait for their cloud solution. And so everything set up for me, I would just buy a subdomain or something on their platform and do it that way. And to me, I think that's probably going to be one of the, it's probably one of the drawbacks to possibly the mass adoption of Discourse is the installation process. Because right now it's, they recommend 30 minutes and you have to use Docker and do all these things. It's not as, you know, as Leland said, it's not as easy as a WordPress 5-minute install.
Right.
But I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens with Discourse. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm praising it. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't used BBPress. I've installed it and I've played around with it a little bit. I don't have any experience in using it to host a community, but I don't know. I just look at Discourse and say, wow. You know, if BBPress had this out of the box, yeah, okay, you know, I'm considering BBPress now. But, I mean, for developers, BBPress is awesome. For someone like me, where most of this stuff in something like Discourse or PHBBB, it's not part of BBPress out of the box. I'm sorry. I'm just not thinking about using BBPress to host a really diverse, great community. And that's just me.
Yeah,
and I wish it wasn't that way, but...
Yeah, you want to spend your time talking to the community, not the tech people trying to figure out how to get it to work.
Yeah, or trying to locate the 20 different plugins I want to install so that it is like Discourse or some of these other competing software platforms for communities. You know, I don't have time for that. I want to just engage in the community. And right now, over this past week, you know, geez, I mean, it looks like we've got everything we need right now to have a good conversation going. I mean, there's over 50 members. There's a lot of different topics going on. You know, if I want to create a new category, I just go up to categories and click create new category, name it, give it a color, and boom, it's done. I mean, it's just refreshing how easy it is to do so much of the administrative tasks that forums present you with. I got to say, you know, after 5 days, I'm pretty impressed with Discourse.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Discourse Weekly, episode 1.
Well, here's an idea. Let's fork Discourse 1.0 and call it BBPress. I'm sorry. I mean, that probably makes some people mad, especially those who really work and dedicate their time and efforts and volunteer efforts to BBPress. I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, I think that if BBPress had a lot of what some of these other things offered out of the box, it would be a viable option for a lot more people than just, you know, the developer-centric. And it's, and the BBPress survey points that out. You know, if we look back at the BBPress user survey, you know, a lot of people said the same thing I did. You know, if it had this set of features, like all these other forms, pieces of form software have, I would consider it. So I'm not the only one in this box, and I'm curious to see if either how fast or how long it takes BBPress to sort of get up to par with all these other people, or if maybe that's just not what's going to happen. Maybe that's not in their roadmap to be like every other piece of form software, which apparently, from everything I've seen, it is not.
Well, let me ask, could you iframe this or something like that into an existing WordPress theme shell? Could you do that? Run it off of a separate domain but still have it to where people are using WordPress as their sort of portal?
I think there might be some WordPress plugin that you can, like, replace your comments or something with a Discourse thread or something like that.
That's how Boing Boing's doing it. They create posts on their website in the comments and discussion happens in the Discourse forum.
Yeah, so you can definitely, there are definitely some sorts of integrations out there for WordPress and Discourse.
All right, good, because I want to let the hardcore WordPress community out there know we're not abandoning anybody.
You know, right.
It's like right. Alien technology, you know, we're just letting you guys know this thing's out there, you know, you might want to strap it on to exactly what you've got and, you know, mod it out just like these guys do with their cars. It looks really cool, and I'm glad that we're using it as a conduit for WordPress discussion.
Yeah, I'll come out and say it right now that the only downside to all this is that, damn it, this could be the tavern forum I'm spending all my time on, and I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. Oh, man, this so it's kind of heartbreaking for me, but I'm glad that Leland took it upon himself. He's got a great thing going over there, and I hope he keeps up with the momentum because you know, I know from experience, momentum is a hard thing to obtain in the forum, and once you get it, boy, you better just keep rolling with it. So great community. If you're interested in WordPress topics, if you're a beginner, novice user, experienced developer, it doesn't matter who you are. If you just want to talk WordPress or get help, wpchat.com. It's free, open to registration, and it's just a fantastic place, and we're a week underway. Got a lot of great people already there contributing to conversations. Just a lot of great stuff going on. Leland, what can you tell us about maybe the immediate future of wpchat.com? Is it going to remain free? Are you going to do you think you would end up having paid registration or memberships? I mean, this is kind of looking far out in the distance here, but I mean, you can't probably support the cost of this forever on your own, depending on how it grows.
What about little private groups for little projects?
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not even thinking about monetization at this point. It only costs me like $10 a month to host, which isn't that big of a deal. I'm looking at, I actually use a Mandrill for sending emails, and I'm looking at the usage so far, and it's sent 278 emails in the past 4 days, and there are 12,000 emails free per month from Mandrill, so it's looking like I'm envisioning Mandrill might be my like greatest expense in the long term, because Discourse sends like a lot of emails, and the more users, like it, that just grows exponentially.
Right.
Just leave a donation button. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'd probably like maybe try to get a sponsor or something, but I'm not really looking for that right now.
There's no need for that now.
Yeah, but it's going to stay free for probably ever. If there was anything paid, it would be like some, like Marcus said, some little group or something that might have a private forum for VIPs or something. I don't know.
Oh, geez, you're doing what I tried to do and failed, but you will succeed where I have failed. I don't know, maybe.
But yeah, definitely it's going to stay free. I don't plan on charging anybody just to sign up. I think that would kind of stifle a lot of the community growth at first.
And you know, I just think that the WordPress community needs I'm very passionate about this. I think the WordPress community is missing a forum where people can gather together, shoot the bull, talk about whatever in the land of WordPress in a friendly, cozy atmosphere amongst others outside of what WordPress.org offers. And for the longest time, the WordPress Tavern Community Forum offered that. And until that comes back, well, I guess WP Chats is just going to have to be my home away from home.
Yeah, because I honestly, like, I mean, I know there are Facebook groups and, like, Google Plus groups and stuff, but I don't know. I'm just not into,
yeah,
like...
We need some place away from the noise.
That's tied to a specific area. This is open to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is why I really... Because I'm, like, obsessed with, like, WordPress community news and stuff like that, and I, like, read WP Tavern every day, so it's like, a great... It's just, like, a nice, like, separate entity that you can like openly discuss whatever WordPress stuff you want without having to like connect your Facebook account or something, which I've never done before.
So what we need to do is we need to figure out how to pipe in the Tavern RSS feed and create new topics on Discourse, on your Discourse forum. So it looks like we're creating new threads. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, the topic can probably be arranged somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, no need to do that. Leland, thank you very much for being on the show. Great to find out. I'm glad to hear everything is doing well with you in terms of WordPress. You get a full-time job. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this WP Chat project of yours turns out. So far, I'm impressed with Discourse. I'm sort of addicted to the site now. I keep checking it every day just to see if I miss anything. And you've got quite a group of people here. And just keep up the momentum. That's really all the advice I have for you. Just keep on it. Don't lose it, because once you lose it and you start letting everything die off, boy, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah, definitely. But I have to thank so much for the WP Tavern effect. Like, as soon as you posted that on WP Tavern, like, people just started flooding in, I think.
Yeah, you one day you got like 50 new users just out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So thanks a lot for being on the show, and congrats to you. And definitely I'll keep in touch with you and helping you moderate the forum over there.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks again for having me on the show.
And for those who want to keep tabs on you, do you have an active Twitter account or your website?
I have just twitter.com/LelandF is my personal account. And for WP Chat specific Twitter stuff, you can follow WP Chat on Twitter. No underscores or anything. It's just WP Chat.
And I think our plan is at some point is to, I think you're going to pipe new public threads created on the forum and pipe automatically tweet those through the WP Chat account. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. I might want to keep the Twitter account more curated.
Mm-hmm.
So if some random spammer like signs
right.
posts a bunch of stuff, it doesn't also go to the Twitter feed.
I think personally, that's how I did the Tavern forum. If you sort of keep an eye and you see a thread that has a great discussion going on, you should be manually tweeting those instead of having everything be automated.
Yeah, so I was probably going to head in the curation direction rather than...
Ooh, that would be actually a good threshold plugin to use. Hey, if 50 people like this post, tweet it out.
Yeah, there could be some standards for before the auto tweet happens.
All right, guys, come on, let's go in the Discourse business.
Right? I have a feeling that Leland here is going to be doing like commercial Discourse plugins and stuff.
That's right.
Or commercial Discourse themes.
That's right. You've been dissed by Discourse.
But it's an awesome project. It's available for free, and definitely check out WPChat.com when you get a chance. Leland, thanks a lot for joining us on the show tonight.
Thanks again for having me.
Fantastic. So before we wrap it up here, Marcus, why don't you go ahead and roll out your plugin picks of the week?
All right. We've got Log Emails. This is a relatively new plugin in the repository. If you've been having difficulty with getting emails to be sent from your WordPress installation outward, whether that be through forms or things like that, and you need kind of an audit trail, this is a great way to instill a log right within your WordPress installation that then you can go reference again in case you have some sort of problem. Or if you want to come back to it after a specific period of time and see if there are any errors that have been generated along the way, this is a really nice one. You don't have to worry about persistent data all of the time because you can set the time that the actual log is kept. So it can purge the log after 2 days, 3 days, whatever you want to set it for. Great plugin. It's called Log Emails. And the next one is something very colorful and new called WP Dashboard Notes. It's a real new way to display notes and to-do lists right in the admin dashboard. So, Jeff, it's just like as if I were to leave some post-it notes for you and maybe a to-do list, like, hey, you know, make sure you finish this article about, you know, the newest Discourse plugin that came out, and make sure you have step 1, 2, and 3 before you publish your article. So it's a nice way to leave somebody else a note and they're very colorful and very bright on your screen, but you can default them back to white if you want to.
Fantastic. That's all I need. Post-it notes everywhere.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do you think that's a feature that you might even use to leave yourself notes?
Yeah, when I'm like 80.
Okay, well, everyone has a function. The next one is called Simple Post Expiration. And Jeff, this one's really cool. It gives you right under where you typically would put in the date where you want to publish the post. Right underneath that, now it gives you expiration. So you can expire the post directly underneath it. So this one does more than just expire the post itself. What it does is it allows you to set a clear date as far as, okay, this is going to be the expiration date, and then you just put a short code in the post with the term expires, and then there's a couple other taxonomies you can put after it, and it'll say right on there, hey, this post expires, you know, August 26th or whatever. So that's pretty cool, and it also has kind of an accompanying widget to it, which has the expiring soon posts, so the ones that are about to expire, it shows those in a sidebar widget, and the ones that have actually expired.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So they really thought this one out. So it's a really nice one called Simple Post Expiration.
Fantastic. So that's going to wrap it up for this nightly edition of WordPress Weekly. Again, we're doing this on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the new daytime recording time for the show. And we'll be back again here next Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. with the guest. Who knows? We'll see. It's always a surprise. So you can find show notes for this episode on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's J-E-F-F-R-0. And Marcus Couch, where can we follow you?
You can follow me at my website, marcuscouch.com. I'm on Twitter at Marcus Couch. And I'm now on WP Chat with the name Marcus Couch.
Wait a minute, are you telling me that you registered during the show?
I did.
Well, well, fantastic. You're about to get knowledge bombed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, put a plug-in category in there. I'm happy to participate.
We are talking about that. And for everyone else, have a great rest of the week, and have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday night.